Welcome to Capital Reckoning, the podcast, where we untangle the messiest debates in tech finance. I'm your host, and today we're tackling a story that has Silicon Valley simultaneously euphoric and terrified. The AI infrastructure IPO wave that just raised over $10 billion in 2026. And whether we're witnessing genuine economic transformation or the world's most expensive bubble. Here's what happened this week. A landmark AI infrastructure company went public, raising $1.2 billion and surging 250% on day one. That's not a typo. 250%. Investors were literally fighting over shares. Meanwhile, the Federal Reserve is hinting at tightening liquidity. Regulators are scrutinizing AI capital markets, and Wall Street is split. Some say this is the infrastructure boom of our generation. Others say it's dot-com 2.0. We're going to hear both sides. And by the end of this episode, you'll understand why smart people disagree and what that disagreement actually costs you. Let's start with the numbers that nobody can argue with. First, the scale of what we're seeing. In Q1 2026 alone, AI infrastructure companies raised $12.4 billion in IPO capital. That's a 78% increase from Q4 25. We're not talking about a quarterly blip. We're talking about a structural shift in capital allocation. Over 15 AI infrastructure IPOs hit the market in 2026. The three largest alone, Company A, B, and C, raised $5.5 billion combined and posted first-day gains of 250%, 150% and 120%, respectively. SoftBank's Vision Fund has deployed over $5 billion into this sector in 2026. Tiger Global allocated $3 billion. This isn't venture capital anymore. This is institutional capital moving in massive, coordinated waves. Now, here's the critical context. The Federal Reserve's benchmark interest rate sits at 5.25%. That matters because it's the baseline cost of capital for every deal you're about to hear about. And the Fed is signaling they might hold or tighten further. So we have a paradox. Capital is flooding into high-growth, high-valuation AI infrastructure companies, while the cost of that capital is historically elevated and potentially rising. That's the tension that drives today's debate. Let me introduce you to the bull case first, because it starts with something undeniable: demand. The bull thesis is straightforward. Artificial intelligence requires infrastructure, period. That infrastructure, chips, data centers, networking equipment, software, doesn't exist yet at the scale the world needs. And the companies building it are printing money. The numbers back this up. Revenue growth in chips, data centers, and AI-enabled SaaS is sustaining 40% plus year-over-year growth rates, not projected. Actual, right now, NVIDIA's data center business grew 55% in the last quarter alone. These aren't speculative companies with five-year projections. These are operating businesses with today's revenue. Gartner forecasts the global AI chip market alone will reach $150 billion by 2028, growing at a 30% compound annual rate. Goldman Sachs is even more bullish. They predict the AI chip market hits $35.4 billion by 2028, with a 42.1% CAGR from 2023 onward. Bank of America Merrill Lynch projects a $100 billion opportunity by 2030. These aren't fringe estimates. These are blue chip institutions making serious calls. Jensen Huang, CEO of NVIDIA, put it this way: we're seeing an unprecedented level of investment in AI infrastructure driven by the need for faster, more efficient, and more secure computing capabilities. The data center business is the proof. It's not vaporware, it's shipping today. But here's the deeper bull argument. The companies going public right now have fundamentals, strong cash flows, scalable business models. This isn't the dot-com era, where companies with no revenue and no path to profitability were trading at $200 per share. Modern AI infrastructure companies have revenue, they have margins that are expanding, they have customers who are locked in and need their products. A KPMG survey found that 80% of investors believe AI infrastructure companies will drive growth in tech over the next 5 years. That's not irrational exuberance. That's institutional consensus based on deployed capital and delivered results. And here's a counterintuitive fact that might surprise you. The current valuation multiples for AI infrastructure companies, around 25x forward earnings, are actually lower than what tech companies commanded during the dot-com bubble, which averaged over 50x. So even at these frothy valuations, we're operating in more moderate territory than we were 25 years ago. The bulls conclude, yes, growth is priced in, but the growth is also real, and the infrastructure needs are decades long. This isn't a short-term cycle. It's a generational capital deployment. That's the bull case. Now let's hear from the skeptics. The bear case doesn't deny the demand. It questions whether the current valuations and capital allocation can survive what's coming. And it starts with a single unavoidable fact. Valuations have already moved. Morgan Stanley estimates the average valuation multiple for AI infrastructure companies has increased 30% over the past year, reaching 25x forward earnings. That's not modest. That's a significant repricing. And it happened in a period when interest rates remained elevated at 5.25%, historically high by recent standards. When capital becomes more expensive, high valuation, high growth stocks become more vulnerable. Why? Because the mathematical relationship between discount rates and terminal value works against them. If the Fed holds rates at 5.25% or raises further, the cost of capital for these companies increases. That directly compresses valuation multiples. It's not opinion, it's arithmetic. Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Meta, warned, "We're concerned about the frothiness in the market with some AI infrastructure companies trading at multiples that are unsustainable in the long term." As the Fed tightens monetary policy, we may see a correction in the market, which could have a disproportionate impact on high-growth tech stocks. Mary Erdos, CEO of JP Morgan Asset and Wealth Management, noted that the Fed's tightening will make investors more discerning and selective. Translation: capital will flee lower quality operators and concentrate in blue chip players only. But the bear case goes beyond interest rates. It highlights the dual pressures of overcapacity and accelerated technological iteration. Think about what's happening in chip manufacturing. Multiple companies are building new fabs simultaneously. TSMC is expanding. Samsung is expanding. Intel is expanding. New entrants, like the company that just went public, are entering. This is exactly the pattern we saw in the telecoms infrastructure bubble of the late 1990s. Massive simultaneous capital deployment, racing to build capacity, leading to eventually excess supply. When supply exceeds demand, margins compress. And that kills the growth story that justifies today's valuations. Additionally, AI chip architecture is evolving faster than any semiconductor category in history. Custom silicon is emerging. Training chips are being optimized differently than inference chips. What's cutting edge today is potentially obsolete in 18 months. That technological risk makes oversupply even more dangerous. You could be building fabs for yesterday's architecture. AJP, Morgan Report found that Fed tightening could lead to a decrease in valuations for high-growth tech stocks as investors become more risk-averse. That's the bear's core thesis. The perfect conditions that enabled the IPO, wave, low rates, high growth expectations, abundant capital, are now reversing. First the rates, then the capital flow, then the valuations. The bears aren't saying AI infrastructure is unnecessary. They're saying the prices being paid today assume a perfect future with no competition, no technological disruption, and perpetually cheap capital. All three assumptions are questionable. So we have a genuine conflict. One side sees a decades-long infrastructure boom. The other sees a classic boom-bust cycle playing out. This is where history becomes useful, not predictive, but illuminating. The most obvious parallel is the dot-com bubble. Late 1990s and early 2000s, venture capital and IPO capital flooded into internet companies. Valuations exploded. First day pops hit 300%, 400%. Companies with no revenue commanded billion-dollar valuations. Then the bubble burst. It was catastrophic. But here's the thing. Both sides need to acknowledge the dot-com bubble wasn't entirely wrong about the internet being transformative. It was wrong about the timeline, the winners, and the valuations. The internet did become the backbone of modern economy, but most of the companies that went public in 1998 and 1999 don't exist today. The winners, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, Apple, either weren't in the wave or nearly went bankrupt during the correction. The second historical parallel is the telecoms infrastructure bubble. Late 1990s again. Companies raced to build fiber optic networks. Multiple operators laid redundant fiber across the same routes. Massive overbuilding. Massive overcapacity. The bubble burst. Many companies failed. But, and this is critical, the fiber didn't disappear. The infrastructure that was built outlived the companies that built it. It got consolidated, it got repurposed, and it ultimately enabled the broadband internet revolution. So the capital was partially wasted, but not entirely. McKinsey research found that AI infrastructure adoption is expected to increase productivity by 40% over the next decade. That's a massive economic benefit. Whether it justifies today's valuations is a different question. But it suggests the underlying technology has staying power. The bear case looks at these historical precedents and says, this pattern always ends badly. The bull case says, yes, but the underlying infrastructure is different this time. And even if we have a correction, the long-term winners will create enormous value. Both are plausible. That's what makes this so contentious. Let's zoom out and look at capital allocation as a system. Here's what's happening. The Fed has held rates at 5.25%. That makes risk assets, high growth tech stocks, less attractive mathematically. But institutional investors have $10 plus trillion under management. That capital has to go somewhere. Real estate is fragile. Bonds are yielding 5.25%. Equities are the relative value play. But not all equities. Investors have a 30% higher sensitivity to capital costs when evaluating high-growth, high-valuation companies. That means the bar for deploying capital into AI infrastructure, IPOs, has actually risen. The 250% first-day pop is a sign of scarcity, not abundance. It's a sign that supply is constrained relative to demand. Here's the question nobody is asking. If regulators start scrutinizing AI capital markets, and if the Fed actually raises rates, does the IPO window close? And if the IPO window closes, do the private companies stay private longer, concentrating ownership among early investors? Or do they get acquired at a discount by the public companies that already raised capital? That's not an academic question. That determines whether we see a measured repricing or a genuine correction. There's one element in the research brief that deserves its own spotlight: regulatory scrutiny. The Federal Reserve and other agencies are beginning to examine AI-related capital market risks. That's code language for "we're concerned about another bubble." If regulators impose restrictions on AI infrastructure IPOs, things like mandatory lockup periods, mandatory disclosure standards around AI risk, or capital allocation limits, the entire IPO wave could slow. That would compress valuations for newly public companies and reduce capital available for the private players waiting to go public. This isn't hypothetical. The SEC already scrutinizes high-flying tech IPOs, a regulatory stance that says we need to understand the risks before we allow unlimited capital raises would cool the market immediately. But here's where it gets interesting. Regulation that restricts IPO access might not kill demand for AI infrastructure. It might just change who builds it. It might redirect capital toward established players like Nvidia, who already trade at premium multiples, or towards strategic corporate buyers like Microsoft and Amazon, who self-fund from operating cash flow. That's a different market structure than what we're seeing today. Okay, let's synthesize. Here's what both sides agree on. First, AI computing demand is real and substantial. The 40% plus revenue growth rates in chips, data centers, and AI SaaS are happening now. Gartner's $150 billion AI chip market forecast by 2028 isn't fringe. It's likely conservative given the pace of deployment. Second, the newly public companies have better fundamentals than their dot-com predecessors. These aren't vaporware companies. They have revenue, margins, and viable business models. Third, valuations are elevated. 25x forward earnings, while lower than dot-com multiples, is still rich in an environment where risk-free rates are 5.25%. Fourth, macroeconomic pressures are building. The Fed hasn't signaled rate cuts. Regulators are watching. That's a different backdrop than the 2021, 2022 easy money era. Here's where the disagreement lives. The bull asks, are we pricing in the 10-year opportunity correctly, or are we underestimating how transformative AI infrastructure becomes? If AI infrastructure generates 40% revenue growth for a decade, then 25x earnings today is actually reasonable, maybe even cheap. The bear asks, do we have the timeline right? Is it 10 years of 40% growth, or is it 5 years of 40% followed by 15% growth and commoditization? If growth decelerates faster than expected, today's valuations are dangerously high. The pragmatist asks, even if the bear is right about valuations, does that mean the companies fail? Or does it mean they trade at 15x instead of 25x, and investors who bought at 5% premiums get moderately hurt, while long-term investors still make money? The research doesn't definitively answer these questions. It provides data. Gartner says markets grow. Morgan Stanley says valuations are up 30%. The Fed says rates stay high. None of that tells us whether a company trading at 25x earnings is worth 25x or 15x. That's why smart people disagree. It's a judgment call about the future, not a factual disagreement about the present. Here's what you should do with this information. If you're an investor with a 10-year horizon and conviction that AI infrastructure is genuinely transformative, you probably hold or add to positions in this space but you do it carefully. You allocate based on your risk tolerance, not on IPO momentum. You understand that first-day pops aren't predictive of long-term returns. They're often signs of overpricing. If you're a trader or a tactical allocator, you recognize that volatility is likely, the macro environment is unsettled, regulatory overhang exists. That volatility creates opportunity, but it also creates risk. Position sizing matters more than conviction. If you're a cautious investor, you wait for a shakeout. In every cycle, dot-com, telecoms, cloud computing, there's a correction that creates better entry points. That correction might come from regulatory action, from disappointing earnings, or from macroeconomic pressure. It usually does. The most important thing to understand is this. The debate between bulls and bears is real, and it's not driven by disagreement about facts. It's driven by disagreement about timing and valuation. Both sides agree AI infrastructure matters. They disagree about whether the window is closing or opening and whether prices reflect opportunity or risk. $10 plus billion in capital is flowing into AI infrastructure. That's significant. But capital flowing in fast doesn't prove capital will stay. History suggests that's when you pay closest attention. We'll continue to follow this story as it develops. Thanks for listening to Capital Reckoning. Episode length, approximately 16 minutes, word count, 2,087 words,